All right, I'll start reading. Here's John chapter 4. He said in verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. So I'm sending you to reap wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men have labor, and now you're entering into their labors." Praise God in heaven. Now, as we have looked back at this week, we've seen and heard not only the word, but testimonies as to what God is doing in these last days. And as I've been talking in the private sessions and talking on the morning sessions, we're talking about fulfilling your assignment. Fulfilling your assignment. Each one of us is uniquely positioned here in this earth, and we all have giftings. No one comes into this earth, as Brother Copeland said, without a gift. So you and I have giftings. Over in Romans chapter 11, he said in verse 29, "For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance." The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Back in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 13, it's where this planting of the church and planting of the believer in the world, that God never intended for the church to be detached from the world. When I say that, I mean we are in the world, but not of the world. And over in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, he says, "And another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, that could be the harvest field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." In other words, this tree becomes the most influential thing in the world. The Bible says over in Job chapter 8, verse 7, "Though thy beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase." Not increase, greatly increase. So you can become the biggest thing in the garden. And that's the kingdom of God overshadowing everything there is. The Bible says over in Psalm 103 and verse 19, "His kingdom rules over everything." So as this is happening here, the quality of word that you're getting is going to reflect the ability that you're going to have to dominate this earth. And so you got to make sure that we're getting the right word. As they said in computers, garbage in, garbage out. So the word of God is designed for hostile environments. It's designed for it. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, he said that God has provided some better things for us. Some better things for us. Better what? Well, it's about better revelation. We're going to see better manifestations. What? Than the church in the past. Now, the one thing you got to do is you got to come over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, he says, you put them all up on the board. I'm going to some scriptures now. In Luke chapter 5, he says in verse 39, he says here that no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. For he said, the old is better. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we don't see some of the progress that we should be seeing in the body of Christ. Because folks still trying to hang on to that old wine. And God is giving new revelations. And he says over in Matthew chapter 8, let me go over there. He says here in Matthew chapter 8, he says in verse 20, the foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place, come on, to lay his head. And we said what that is. That is a word that you can have it as truth on the natural level, but on the spiritual level, it's saying that the king is coming and he needs somewhere to lay his head. The head fits on the body. The body's got to grow up so that the head can fit. So we're going to have to eat on another level. And when you read the scripture, you just can't read it one time. You got to let the Holy Ghost now do a download in you as you read it. Look at Matthew chapter 16, because this is why. Over in Matthew 16, he says this. He said in verse 13, well, he came to Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, well, you're John the Baptist. Others said, Elijah, or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now, notice what they were doing. They were guessing. See, that's information. Trial and error. But in the kingdom, there is no trial and error. That you can hit it on the mark every time. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not what? Revealed it unto thee, but who? My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art who? Peter. And upon this what? Rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he mentioned church, they didn't even think about a building. Because church in the Greek is ecclesia. It has to be a ruling or governing body. And this governing body, God's going to put in the church, in the earth, because this governing body is going to rule this earth and bring it back into kingdom subjection, for the king is coming. He's going to bring it back under the order of the government of the kingdom of God. This ruling body, this powerful ruling body. He said in Matthew chapter 18 and 18, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth, come on, will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you what? Loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, well, let's just leave that up there. Now, what is it saying here? He is saying that nothing is supposed to exist here without the church's permission. And whatever you permit to be on this earth, I'll permit it. Heaven's permitted it. Now, my point to you is that, of course, we have to come under the authority of God, and that authority of God is his word. And that's why he says over here in Matthew, and Matthew chapter, boy, I'm going too fast, I know, but y'all can keep up with me, praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the what? Word of the what? Kingdom. See, I'm representing heaven. Heaven is another government. It's a government of heaven, the government of the kingdom of God. I'm representing that. Now I'm here, and I've been given a jurisdiction. You remember Jesus, when they were during his passion, remember that Pilate and Herod were kind of trading him off? Because one thought he was from there and the other thought he was from here. Pilate and Herod represented the Roman government. The Roman government is a senate. It's a picture of the church. And what the church is here to do is that God is going to assign you a territory. And in that territory, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, he has given you jurisdiction over it. So I'm just saying right now, as you go back to that church and that church is sitting in that city, you tell that city that that city is under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. You're coming to establish his kingdom wherever God sends you. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, this hadn't been taught. We've heard the gospel of salvation, and we've taught that many times. Thank God for that. But we're talking, Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's go over to it. Mark chapter 1 again. I think I took you over there before. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, look what it says in verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and do what? Believe the gospel. So this gospel that he's preaching here is this end time gospel. He's talking about the restoration of mankind, bringing back in order this earth as it was out of order, and bringing it back in order. Now the enemy, because he can't keep anything alive, has really messed this thing up. So now God's people are sent to clean this thing up. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, as we use the word of the kingdom, because I'm working towards something now, as we use the word of the kingdom is the word of God. The word of God. And the word of God comes with power. Now let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Are y'all with me? Am I going okay? John chapter 1. Amen. Amen. See, the drill team spoke something prophetic. They said that you are in the golden age. Oh, have mercy. Look what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. Him who? God. God who? The word. And without the word was not anything made that was made. You got it? So with the word, you can start with nothing. Now you got to get that, because that, this is one of the things Satan hates, is for you to get a knowledge of who you really are. He doesn't want you to live out of that spirit. He wants to keep you in the flesh. Remember what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Put it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He talked to him. He said, let me tell y'all something. My brother and I could not even speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. Keep going. And I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, keep going. For you are yet carnal. For where there is among you envying, I can just stop right there. Strife, come on. Division is nothing but racism. See, if you think more of the outside than you do of your spirit, then you fall into this category. Divisions, are you not carnal and walk as what? Men. Now, it doesn't say men in the Amplified. Put it up there, that same verse, if you would switch it over to the Amplified. Aren't you glad we got somebody back there that can handle this and do it quickly? Praise the Lord. For you are still, I'm speaking things, I'm calling things. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there is among you envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like, come on, mere unchanged men? Your job is to take people from milk to meat. Meat you have to chew. Say amen to that. Amen. And a lot of times people come, oh, praise the Lord. Didn't the Reverend preach a good sermon today? Hey. That's still carnal. You watch. They're going to fight over that same chair they want to sit in, right? Amen. Yeah, you can't move a church forward like that. We got to finish what God has called us to do. So I'm saying you got to check that. And he said, you're comparing yourselves with yourselves. That is not even wise. Amen. How big is your church? How small is your church? That's not even wise. Amen. That's why you don't go anywhere. I didn't compare myself with nobody. Yes, we didn't even have a name, if I could use that, a name guest speaker in until we got about, 4,000 people? Wow. Yes. We didn't have men before that. Why? Because one, we want to honor them at the level they need to be honored. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we weren't comparing ourselves with ourselves. I remember the first time Brother Copeland asked me to preach. Folk got jealous. I said, man. Don't mention when we opened a bank. My Lord, I mean, I was called by the brethren to a meeting. They called me and asked me, why am I buying a bank in their neighborhood? I said, well, you buy it. Come on. You buy it. And don't mention the airplane. Lord have mercy. Lord, Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you really want to go into where God calls you to go, you're going to have to be able to handle the haters that come with the program. They come with the program. You will receive the hundredfold with persecution. And a lot of preachers don't go there because they don't want to lose that. See, they want people, oh, yeah, there's a no. They spoke well of me when I was at Lake and Pulaski in a little small storefront church that when it rained on Sunday, it came through the roof down on the people and whiskey bottles. They didn't talk about me. But when you bought them all, envy, jealousy, and you got to resist that voice because his job is to get you to curse your brother. Yes, sir. My God. But you can't curse me. And I'm going to show you why in just a few minutes. Hallelujah. So as we are getting more revelation, we're going into greater manifestation. There's an end time work that we are to do, and we've got to finish this thing. 2/3 of the earth is still unsaved. We got a job to do. Ain't no time to sit around and talk about each other. Well, you know, he shouldn't. What's that got to do with it? They begin, well, you know, some of my members going out. Hey, listen, feed them some grass and they won't go nowhere. Now, I'm not coming against anybody. I'm just saying, listen, you got enough unsaved people out here that you don't even meet. Are you following what I'm saying? All this unsaved running around here acting crazy, get them saved.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right, so he's... The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, he said that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So this is the best part. Amen. You and I are coming into a time that we are the best. Yes. I said, we are the best. Yes. Like I told you, the devil don't know. He doesn't want you to know who you are now. He don't want you to know you're rich. All right. Come on, he don't want you to know you healed. See, he's trying to get you to think you're going to be healed. That's not the scripture. Get the word of the kingdom. It's designed for tough places. Sow it in your body, and sickness got to go. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm just saying this because sometimes what happens is we kind of back up on the word, trying to satisfy people. I'm starting a new series now on the wealth transfer. Now, I've never heard it preached in my life in terms of just preaching out a series, but I'm going to preach it. I said, I'm going to preach it. Amen. Because it's in the Bible. And you be bold with this stuff. You know, don't take down because somebody in your church don't like what you preach. That's a Pentecostal term, that take down. Take down means to back up on what you say. Get bolder. Go hard, yeah. Amen. You know, folks, people don't want no punk preacher anyway. They just didn't tell you about it, but they really don't. All right. Okay, I kind of got off there. So, as we look at this, we're coming into the best times. And in Joel chapter 2, coming over there, Joel chapter 2, J-O-E-L, chapter 2, and look at let's start here at verse 21. He said, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion," symbolizing the church, "and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the what? Former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the what? First month." So we are in the former and the latter rain here. "And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore," Lord have mercy, "the years," come on, "that the locust has eaten," come on, "and cankerworm and caterpillar and palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat," come on, "plenty," say it out loud, I'm going to say plenty, "and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be what? Ashamed. So the rain is going to wash away the shame. The rain is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he is the comforter, and whatever's making you uncomfortable is about to be washed away. Now, you and I have to see ourselves, one, as responsible for this earth. Okay? This is the message that we've been trying to bring here. We are responsible for this. And Jesus saw himself responsible for it. And he said over in Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 19, John the Baptist and them talking about, John said, "Go see who he is. Is he there, the one, or should we look for another?" Go on, next verse. And he said, "When they come," he said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one, or should we look for another?" Keep going. And in the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and to many that were blind, he gave sight. Keep going. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the what? blind see, keep going, lame walk, keep going, lepers are cleansed, keep going, deaf hear, keep going, the dead are raised, and to the poor, come on, the gospel is preached. See? You now notice what he's doing. He said, pray thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done. Where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So notice what he was doing. He now was recovering this earth. He was restoring it the way God had it in the garden, which the garden was a replica of heaven. And where he was making it so that whatever's in heaven would be in this earth. There is no sickness, come on, in heaven to be in this earth. Come on now. There's no poverty in heaven, come on, to be right here in this earth. So notice what Jesus was doing here. So he took responsibility over all the darkness that's in this earth. He said, I am the light of the world. Now, one of the things that really bothered them is his confession, because he's always confessing stuff. I'm the light of the world. I'm this, I'm that. Coming over to John, if you will, John chapter 10. And over in John chapter 10, now I'm just saying this to you. You're going to have to be bold with this stuff. Say amen to that. See, the world, you're either changing it or it's changing you. And there is no middle road. You got to be bold with this. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You got to understand when sickness try to come against you, you got to stand. You got to say, wait a minute, you can't come against me because of Jesus who took my sicknesses. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, then the devil say, well, it's because of your sin. Okay, let the elder of the church anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, the Lord will raise him up, and if there been any sins, you'll be forgiven. I said any sin. Got what I'm saying? So notice every step of the way, whatever temptation, test, or trial come to you, God has made a way to escape. Why? So you can finish the work that he's called you to do. Say amen to that. Amen. And you can do it without guilt. Guilt, shame, and condemnation won't let faith work. Faith is not working. You got no more shield. When you got no more shield, the devil will come in and try to put something on you. What you got to do is back up in the blood. Back up in the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Lord have mercy. Hey. All right, woo, boy, yo. Now this thing is live up here tonight. But I'm saying, don't let nobody back up on it. If I'm moving forward and all these souls, we getting saved every Sunday. Now, you know he's mad at me. He's mad at me and try to get you to be ashamed of your relationship with me. And I ain't hurt nobody. I haven't hurt anybody, sorry. I haven't hurt anybody. I'm saying thing. What did I do? I just got soul saved. I just got an airplane. I just got a bank. I just got a mall. What did I do? I tell you what I did. I ripped it out of Satan's hands, and he's mad about it. And if you rip it out of his hand, he's going to be mad with you. We ain't asking nobody nothing. We are taking it. Don't let Satan proposition you anymore. Tell him, devil, I'm not compromising. I'm taking it all back because it belongs to me anyhow. That's what you came in here for. You didn't come here with some old, you know, Wally Cox sermon. You came in here for the truth, straight with no chaser. Oh, Folks, I can see it on the horizon. When they walk in your church, whatever they got hanging on them will fall off at the door. No. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And they tried to turn the apostles against Jesus. But no. Jesus said, y'all gonna leave too? They said, we don't have nowhere to go. Turn over to Psalm chapter. I didn't read John chapter 10 first. Look what he says here. Now, this is what the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want your divine connection. He doesn't want you to relate to God in the right way that you are to relate to him. Look at verse 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you of my Father. Now, which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered, saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus answered them, said, is it not written in your law? Come on. I said, come on. You are gods. Say amen to this. And if you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be disannulled. It cannot be set aside. It's got to stand. God called you gods. Now, that's not something you go out here, beat your chest, I'm God. See, you ain't got no revelation of that. What you need to do is understand that God has made you so that nothing in this earth can touch you. Lord, have mercy. Let me show it to you. Come on over to Exodus chapter 7, please. Have y'all got a few more minutes here? Because I'm Exodus chapter 7. We're going to build you up so you go home and chew nails, praise God. You wake up in the morning, bring it on, devil, praise God. Look what it said in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, underline see, because it's a revelation. I have made you a God to Pharaoh. Praise God in heaven. God said over in Luke, you put it up on the board, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, this is what he said. He said, behold, glory to God, I give unto you power to tread on, come on, serpents, come on, and scorpions, keep going, and all the power of the enemy, keep going, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do y'all believe that? Yes. Shout amen if you believe it. So what happened? Remember, I'm studying these things and looking at the ability that God gave us. And I said, Lord, now what pieces here am I missing? I understand that God gives revelation and he's given better things to this church than the church before. Because the work that we've got to do is a wider work, and it needs to be done. Obviously, there are some benefits to us having these things in these last days to finish this work. So, as I look at this, again, God made us in his image. So we are made in the image of God. And I looked at Isaiah 61 first. Let's just go there. And then I'm going to go to another part, and I'm not going to hold you long. Isaiah 61. Remember, the quality of word you're getting is going to really dictate the ability that you have to dominate this earth. Don't you ever forget that. It's the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. God can have you start with nothing but a word. And that word can create a whole city if need be. Nothing but the word. Look what he says here in verse 1. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. Watch this. To proclaim the what? Acceptable year of the Lord. Now, at that point, Jesus closed the Bible. Now, don't turn anywhere. Put it up on the board, please. Put Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. I want you to see this now. Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Next verse. And he closed the book. He didn't preach anymore. He closed the book. Now, that's not all to that scripture. That's what I want you to see here. He closed the book. Why? Because that was his part. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I'm talking about fulfilling your assignment. That was his assignment. He closed the book. But let me read the rest of the book. Because the rest of the book is your assignment. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Watch this. The day of what? Vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, symbolizing your church, to give them unto them beauty for ashes. Lord have mercy. All of joy for what? Mourning. No more sadness in the church. Now, if you look at that same principle, no more sadness in the church, that's no different than Revelation 21 and verse 4, where it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, he's going to make your life like you're already in heaven. Man. Let me go on down. And the garment of praise for the what? Spirit of heaviness. Heaviness is a spirit. Depression is a spirit. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Trees of righteousness. People are going to see you get on an airplane, and that's the airplane they won't want to get on. Verse 4. And they shall what? Build the old waste. And they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. Verse 7. For your shame, you're going to have double. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love what? Justice. Isn't that what Pastor Dougherty said? She said, we need to get back to justice. When the church left justice, it lost its voice. Justice. I hate robbery. For burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. That's your kids going to be known. Grandkids. And their offspring among the people. All that see them will acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord, come on, has blessed. My Lord. So I'm saying, there's some building about to go on here. Turn to Ezekiel, please. Ezekiel chapter 36. Isn't this wonderful? Yes. See, you got to love everybody. You can't hate anybody. Not and make this work. This works on the principle of love.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Look at verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, wherein it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the what? Garden of Eden. Underline it. That's what you're going to make. Every place you're going to go, you're going to make it like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited, and the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. I plant that was desolate. I have spoken it, and what will I do? I will do it. All right. So let's deal with the word just for a minute here. The fact that you're going to be comforted, that the comforter is going to come and take care of anything that's making you uncomfortable. And when you're talking about the word vengeance, you're not talking about hate or some kind of emotional retaliation, but it's a necessity for punishing offenders. It comes from the heart of God, the heart of love, the heart of justice, and it's a necessity that God has for stopping things that are unjust or unjust. So God is a God of vengeance. Now, he says that. Somebody sees it in the Old Testament. They say, well, is that in the New Testament? Yes. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. You don't have to go there and put it on the board. In verse 30, he said, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. So what am I saying? I'm saying that a lot of God's people are just glad to be saved. But that's not the end of what he called you to do. See, you've got to get out here and transform this earth. You've got to take back stolen property, and you've got to make sure that the spiritual forces that have been affecting people's lives are put down. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, I'm just going to give you an example of this. In my thinking, because I want to move on, but I want to give you this. Once Jesus left, the Holy Spirit took over ministry. And the Holy Spirit's number one job is to execute vengeance. In terms of his response to what is affecting God's people, and nothing shall escape him. So his job is to do that. His job is to look out for you. That's number one. Now, he's got other things that he does, but this is the number one thing that the Holy Spirit is in this earth to do. Now, with that, if you look in the scriptures all the way over, you will see that he is enabling you to finish what God has called you to do. And an example of that could be found over in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, I'm just showing you this so that you'll see it. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
I'm not a doubter.
All right. Now, God is the judge. You'll find that both in Isaiah 33 in verse 22, and you'll find it also in Psalm chapter 75. I'm teaching now. But God is the judge. And he's here to help you finish what God has called you to do. And whether you know it or not, a lot of what you've been frustrated with has been orchestrated by demonic spirits. Spiritual forces have kept you from your destiny. But everything from now on, that's been hindering your walk and keeping you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Everything that has been harassing you, tormenting you, frustrating you, trying to cause you to fail is now going to be put down. And now God is going to deal with it. And if it's not willing to be dealt with, it's going to be either tormented or, in extreme case, terminated. Now, wait a minute. I know that you in your mind say, wait a minute now, this is Jesus? No, this is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Ghost, and these are the last days. Now, I'm saying that this is part of the new revelation that you have to get, because God sent Moses down to Egypt, not with an army, not with a battery of lawyers, but he sent him to face Pharaoh with a stick. Say amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, he's got work for you to do, and I've got good news for you. You are going to finish the assignment that God has on your life. Your ministry shall prosper. Now, here's a man, and it says here that in verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, here's a man who wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them. Now, this is somebody standing in the way of the gospel, seeking to turn away the deputy or the mayor or governor from the faith. Then Saul, watch this, who also is called, who? Paul. Read the rest of it. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Read that again. Filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll read it again. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Now, the Holy Ghost has got him. Come on now. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? But now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Lord, have mercy. And you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is gone. This is the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, you're in a season where whatever's been harassing you will harass you no longer. There have been spiritual forces behind trying to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. But I'm here to announce to you that this meeting shuts the door to those spiritual forces. You are in the golden age. Glory to God. Now, last place. Let's go over to over to Revelation and chapter 5. Now, God loves people. Say, God loves people. But this work is going to be finished. And this work is going to be finished because God has promised somebody he's going to finish it. And you're not going to make God out of a liar. So you have been chosen in this last day. Well, I've never heard this revelation before. That's because he's prepared better things for you. And you've still been holding to old wine. And you need to let the old wine go and get some new wines and wineskin. Now, I'm not coming down on you. I'm just letting you know that, hey, the revelation of God is continuing to be poured out. Don't think just because I got just this, I've got it all. No, God's got much more for you. And the revelation that I'm about to give you right now on this, I want you to take home and immediately implement it. Praise God. All right, Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 12. I'll start there. This is your inheritance package. This is called your inheritance package, if you want to put it down. Sang with a loud voice, it's Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, these are angels slain for us. To receive what? Power, come on. Riches, come on. Wisdom, come on. Strength, come on. Honor, come on. Glory, and what else? Blessing. All right. See the last word, blessing. Yeah. Say it again.
Blessing.
Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22. Amen. I appreciate that. Proverbs 10, 22. Let me know when you get it by saying praise the Lord, somebody. All right, look at Proverbs 10, 22, and look what it said in verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, come on. Come on, it maketh what?
Rich.
And addeth what?
No sorrow.
No sorrow. All right, now let's go to Galatians and Galatians chapter 3. You don't need to turn to them, just look on the board. We got some good fingers back there in the back, praise God. Galatians chapter 4, amen. And look at Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Come on, of the law. Keep going. Be made a what? Curse for us, for it is what? Written. Keep going. Curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Keep going. That the what? Blessing of who? Abraham might come on who? The Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ. That we might what? Receive the what? Promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. All right. Now. Now, this that I'm about to tell you, you're just going to have to take it, study it out, because it's probably the most powerful word that I've had in a long time. The blessing is the same thing that was on. I've got 3 minutes. Can I have 3 more minutes on top of that? It's the same thing that was on Adam. Let's go all the way back to the garden now. Because remember, we're restoring things. We're coming back. Now, in Genesis 1, 28, he said, put it up there, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, what? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, keep going, and have dominion. Over who? The fish of the sea, keep going, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, let me just help you. The blessing gave Adam the same power God used to create the earth. The blessing did that. Same power God used to create it, he released it to Adam and Eve. They had it. Now, what were they going to do with it? They were to use it to resupply, restock, and renew the earth and keep it functioning as it should. The blessing. Now, what have we done? Bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. See? Now, the blessing is, in my opinion, the most powerful force that God released in the earth. It is, you can go into the most rotten places on earth that had nothing in them. And with the blessing, turn it into a garden. This blessing is the covenant of God that overrides the curse. It's the anointing of God through which divine favor will flow. It is the power of God to produce. And it gave Adam and Eve the same power God used to create everything, because Adam and Eve were going to continue creation. So now, this blessing creates a garden out of the worst place on earth. The blessing is on my life. It's on this ministry. So we come into a mall that two other companies had bought, and it failed. But the blessing moved in. But not only that, look at what happened to the whole city of Forest Park. You didn't know it. It has changed drastically. When we came here, it was on barely get along street. And now we are paying even taxes to them over $4 million. Now, that's a long ways from the church just moving in, taking up property off the tax rolls. We came to be a blessing. Now, there's two systems functioning in this earth at the same time. One, Babylon. Another one, the kingdom. Now, the world is crying for the blessing, because they are getting into a place where there's no natural fix. And the blessing is capable of fixing anything. All right, I'm gonna run through this real quick. Genesis chapter 9, please. Verse 1. God blessed Noah. Well, what happened? Adam and Eve blew the blessing. How? Disobedience. Blessing's gone. God's got to come back in. What did he do first? Flood the earth. Okay? Allowed it to be flooded. Now, he's got this family and a ship full of animals. God blessed Noah. Watch this. And his sons. Why his sons? Because his son's about to go to the three different groups of the earth. The Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They're to the black, to the Asian, and to the European. To take what? The blessing. Why? Because everybody's supposed to be blessed. They were supposed to be blessed out of Adam, because everybody was supposed to come out of Adam. But Adam blew the blessing, lost the blessing, and now he can't come out of Adam. So God's got to get another Adam. So he's going to work his way up to it by now starting with Noah. What did Noah do? He got drunk. What did the other brothers do? They blew the blessing. Now God's got to find another one. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Put it up there on the board. I said, out of time. Praise God. I like that. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Go hard. And I'm pastoring here. Okay. And the Lord said, the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of that country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'm going to show you. He didn't give him a brochure. He said, just follow me. Now, what is he trying to do? Why would he try to get him away from his folks? Come on. Because anytime you lean on the flesh, you negate the blessing. Got it? That's Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. So you can't lean on the flesh. You can't lean on the arm of the flesh. You can't lean on people. Well, I know he's going to send me some money. I'm going to lean on him. You're negating the blessing. You got to let God use whoever God wants to use. Your trust has to be only in God. I said, your trust has to be only in God.